Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now exactly 16 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bahman. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Marana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how do you do this morning, Marana?
Alhamdulillah, Marana, how is your health?
Alhamdulillah. Allah has been extremely kind, alhamdulillah. And we take this opportunity to greet our listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Marana, last week, I know we had a bye last week, so we played the previous week's program where we explained that we did the ayat in Surah Al-Kahf. We're doing the commentary in Surah Al-Kahf. We did the ayat number 50. That is وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. And we went into detail about the word ذُرِّيَّة, which means children. So Shaitan has children, and this could be the literal meaning that all jinnats have children. And also that Zuriya, that those who carry out his traditions, they propagate the message of Iblis. And this could be from min al jinnati wan nas. It could be from the jinn and from insan itself. And also we did about the accomplices, the armies, the helpers, that's jinn and mankind. And we also mentioned that one common enemy, that is Shaitan, his progeny and his accomplice. And then we mentioned that what a terrible exchange this is. Today we're going to begin with the ayat مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَدُدًا. مُنَنَا
جِيمَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. In this ayah, ayah number 51, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us and tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما أشهدتم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا. Allah says that I did not make them witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation. In other words, nor did I make them a witness of their own creation. And I am not the one to take those who mislead as helpers. Allah says in this ayah, I did not make them witness the creation of the skies and the earth at all, nor did I make them witness to the creation of their own selves. And I have never been one who takes those who misguide as backup and reinforcements. The word Allah says, Ya ma ashhadtum, is derived from the word shahida, to be a witness. And ashhada is to make someone a witness. Now, a connection of this ayah to the previous ayah. In the previous ayahs, we learned about the creation of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, where Allah informed us that when he told Shaitan to make Iblis, to make sajda to Adam. So we learned about the creation of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Now the first obvious connection between this ayah and the previous ayah is that people are taking Shaitan and his minions and his progeny and his army as friends and protectors besides Allah. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing those friends and protectors, saying that I did not make them witness to any creation. In other words, what qualifications do they have for you to follow them? You have made Shaitan, you have made his progeny, and his progeny are his own biological, literal children, and those that support his ideology and continue to create chaos in the world. So, in other words, what qualifications do you have, do they have, for us as people, as Muslims and human beings, to follow them? In the previous ayah, the malaika, the angels, and Iblis were made witness to the creation of Adam. The angels, alhamdulillah, submitted. Iblis, na'udhu billah, did not. Allah saying, this is the one event of creation that I made them witness. I made the shayateen, Iblis in other words, sorry, just Iblis, I made him witness. I also made all the angels witness this one event of creation. This one event of creation of insan, of humans. However, there are much bigger events. such as the creation of the skies, creation of the earth. What is being suggested is that there is a grand plan, the creation of the skies and the earth, and they were created for a purpose. And that is, we, insan, humans, are part of a much bigger plan. And Allah is describing the ignorance of the shayateen and the original mistake of Iblis, that he doesn't even know, he is not even aware of the entire picture, the whole picture, and he wasn't made witness to the creation of the heavens and earth. He was not made witness to the heavens and the earth. He was not made witness to the creation of the heavens and the earth. So he does not have the entire full picture, the full story of the purpose of creation. He was only made a witness of the one event of creation, and that is the creation of man. So he should have relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and admitted his own weakness, that he doesn't know enough to be able to figure out the purpose of creation. Even the angels didn't see the whole bigger picture of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings. In Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this, we learn that even the angels did not know the entire story and the whole big picture of why Allah created the human beings. So now, Allah is making that point about who are they to criticize or refuse Allah's commandment. The larger context of the surah, Surah Kahf, and the primary audience of the surah, as we have repeatedly mentioned, are the Christians. A lot of Christian theology created this myth of the armies of God, or the armies of good, which are the angels, and the armies of the devil or demons, and this whole ideology of fallen angels, and these armies are constantly clashing, as it is to say there was even a competition. And this is a Christian ideology. Those that are aware, there is this belief in the Christian ideology. The creation of this theology created a lot of questions. Allah created Iblis, the devil, and the armies of the devil. And therefore the devil and his army are all part of Allah's grand plan. So this whole struggle of good versus evil is just a game, according to Christian theology. So this evil was attributed, na'udhu billah, to Allah. And this internal conflict started developing among Christians. In the Quran Kareem, right in the beginning of the surah, where Allah talks about this Christian ideology and those that have taken a son for Allah, and how Allah warns them of the challenges that are going to come, right in the beginning we discussed that. So in the Quran, Allah addresses this problem directly. First of all, Allah says, they don't understand the entire picture. They don't even know the objects of creation, and don't attribute what they do of evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they are doing, they are held exclusively responsible for. Allah has never and will never take those who misguide as part of a reinforcement of His plan. Allah talks about measure. Allah talks about order in the Quran. Allah talks about discipline in the Quran. Allah talks about harmony in the Quran. And organization throughout the world, we see the world the way it operates. There's total harmony, there's absolute measure, there's absolute order, there's absolute discipline, there's total organization. And the angels, the malaika, and Iblis were given the choice to stay with that harmony and order, or to deviate. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angels and Iblis to prostrate towards Adam alayhi salatu wa salam for Allah, the angels and Iblis were given the choice to stay with that harmony and order which has been in the creation, or which is in the creation of the universe. And they had the choice to deviate. Now we do not attribute that deviation as Allah's plotting or scheming. There was a clear choice given to them. Allah has given them room to decide. But that does not mean Allah has orchestrated it. When evil is mentioned to Allah, it is not attributed to Allah, and this is passive language. The good is attributed to Allah. In the Quran Kareem, there is the apparent, the zahir, the seen version of what is good, and there is also the batin, the unseen version of what is good. So basically, there is the apparent and the hidden deeds. The apparent and the hidden deeds and acts, and only Allah knows the true nature of the deed or act. So if something looks completely evil, there might be a grand plan that we cannot even fathom where there is good in it. But it is invisible to our eyes, and therefore Allah says in the Quran Kareem, there are many things that you dislike, but there is great good in it. Our belief and our conviction at the end of the day should be an ease that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned and everything that Allah does is actually good and khair. The problem is that in the unseen world, some things look good and something looks bad. The big case study of that will be Musa alayhi salatu wassalam and the story of Khidr, inshallah. When we come to that, we will understand this concept that how sometimes the apparent looked bad, but there was great good in it. When Musa alayhi salatu wassalam traveled with Khidr, and a few things that Khidr had committed, which Musa only looked at the apparent, yet there was great good in it. And as we go along to that story, we will understand this principle and this concept. Everything looks bad on the outside and doesn't make any sense. But Allah then explains things and sort of lifts part of the veil of the unseen to give us a glimpse of the grand plan and the bigger picture. So coming back to this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I did not make them witnesses to the creation of the earth and the universe. And what knowledge and what qualifications do they have that you are following them when they don't even know the grand plan why I've created, because they were never there. They never witnessed what I created. Subhanallah, then Allah brings forth such a beautiful part of this ayah. وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And nor did I make them witness for their own creation. Allah did not make the witnesses to their own creation. But Iblis was made witness to the creation of Adam and was very critical of it. So what if he had been witness to his own creation? He would have seen how small he was. If he was witness to his own creation, he would have understood his insignificance. He was witness to the creation of mankind and he objected to that. Not having the qualifications and not having the understanding and the complete picture of why is all this being done. If he was witness to his own creation, he would have seen how small he was. We should reflect, we as humans should reflect on our own creation and focus on ourselves. How can you be made witness to your own creation? How can you see your own self being created? This is the meaning of the ayah if read literally. Anfusihim means each other and not just oneself. In other words, the angels and Iblis were not even witness to their own creation or the creations of the universe and insan and humans. This verse, subhanallah, it's so beautiful. If only we reflect on this ayah. Allah says, I did not make anyone a witness to this creation. If they were witnesses to the creation, they would have understood how insignificant they were. When they were not witness to their own creation, where did they come up with the ideology of evolution when they were not even present when the first man was created? Subhanallah. This verse is placing a profound question to the people who have the belief of evolution. Firstly, these people deny Allah, deny His ability of creation. The whole concept of secularism is based on the denial of religion. And it is secularism that has come up with this concept of a godless society where there is no God, no Allah. So Allah asked this question, were you even present when I created the earth and the heavens? Were you even present and a witness when I created yourself? And if you are not, what qualifications do you have to give arguments and suggestions about the beginning of creation when you were not even witness to it? So the whole concept of secularism, which is based on the denial of religion, so Allah is asking, you're making all these claims of creation, all these claims of evolution, all these claims of scientific things, but were you even present when all this was created? Subhanallah, ma ashhadtum khalqa as-samawati wal-ardi wala khalqa anfusihim. I did not make them witness the creation of the skies and the earth at all, nor did I make them witness to the creation of their own selves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَدُدًا. Allah has also highlighted here that the shayateen that do not find the fault in others, that do find fault in the others. Allah highlights here that the shayateen that find fault in others, eventually they and their followers are not just misguided and lost, they are misguiders. They are not only misguided by themselves, but they are also misguiders. They lead people astray. They lead others towards misguidance. The word in this ayah, mudillin, Allah is describing them, and not only did they defy Allah, they also helped others defy Allah. May Allah protect us. Allah then goes on further in the next ayah. وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. After Allah in the ayah, prior to the ayah, ayah number 50, where Allah gives us the story of the creation of Adam and how Shaytan, Iblis, rejected the order, and how he and his progeny and his armies promote his ideology. Allah then asks this question that they were not even present in the creation of themselves or the creation of the universe, and they have no qualifications to guide. But Allah says, I don't need these type of people, because these are people that are misguided and they lead others to misguidance. Allah then comes and brings the story to Yawmul Qiyamah. Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. And the day when He will say, when Allah will say, call my partners whom you took as such. Allah said, I don't need these partners, but you had associated them as my partners. So Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah, call my partners whom you took as such. So they will call them, but they will not respond to them. And we will put a place of disaster between them. The day on which Allah will say, call my partners, the ones you had so much confidence and assumption in, explained in ayahs previously in this dunya, and then they did not respond to them, and didn't even try to respond to them, and we placed between them death. In other words, those whom you had kept and regarded as my partners, if you had called them, and you will call them, but they will not respond. They will not be able to respond. And we will place between them death. In this ayah, there is a word, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا. يَسْتَجِيبُوا. This word has three implications. To want, to try, to generally respond. These are the three implications. To want something, to try, and to generally respond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there are two kinds of partners that you had associated with me wrongfully. The one is idols that can't obviously respond because they have no life. And then there are shayateen who can respond, but they don't when they are called upon. They are just standing there. Some of the awliya, that are taken, some of the friends that are taken are shayateen. And some of them are good people that had no idea they were taken as partners with Allah. But it is important to highlight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking specifically that they wanted to be taken as partners to Allah. In the world today, unfortunately, out of ignorance, sometimes people take certain saints as partners in the whole plan of this world. And they, the awliya, the pious, do not want, and they stay far away from that. So these are not the people that we are talking of. What Allah is talking of here is those that desire and want to be regarded as the armies of Allah or the armies of shayateen. It is important to highlight that Allah is speaking specifically of those who wanted to be taken as partners to Allah. فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. The word مَوْبِقًا means a deep, deadly cliff. A drop off, and it just kind of shows up on you. Literally, it means a place of death. The image here is that you have people standing on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment. And Allah says, call upon them. And then they are calling out to them, and they aren't responding. And then this canyon, which has been used in the ayah as Mawbiqa, appears in between these two sides. And they see these shayateen. And they had so much hope in falling into the canyon and bottomless pit. And the pit is approaching you. And in the next ayah, it is fire that is at the bottom of this bottomless pit. So Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُ شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعُوهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. The day on which he will say, call my partners, the ones you had so much confidence and assumption in. And then they didn't respond to them and didn't even try to respond to them. And we placed between them death. It is the fire that is at the bottom of this bottomless pit described in the next ayah where Allah says, وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارُ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And the sinners will see the fire. So they will know that they are to fall into it. And they will find no way to bypass it. The criminals, when they see the fire at the bottom of the pit, and they will be absolutely convinced that they will be cast into it, and they will not find a place to move or anywhere to go. The words muwaqi'uha is derived from the word waqa'a, which means to fall in this ayah. وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارِ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. Someone, مُوَاقِعُهَا is also someone struggling against someone else. Someone struggling against someone else who is falling. In other words, the armies of angels are pushing forward the people. And they, the disbelievers, are struggling against the angels. And then they fall in and get thrown. The struggle is captured in the word مُوَاقِعُهَا. مُوَاقِعُهَا implies that it has already happened. And it's a done deed. They see the bottomless pit. And they know and realize their fate was sealed a long time ago. And was a done deal. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And they do not have a way out of it. It was always the case. And they would never find a way out of the situation. And they realize this. Another commentator says that the shayateen like to move around a lot and go from one person to the next. And their punishment at the end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting them in a place where they can't move at all. The word mubiqa. If a camel gets stuck in quicksand and is sinking and can't move, the Arabs would say the camel is experiencing certain death by sinking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also used this word in a very powerful hadith, the word mubiqa. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. قالوا يا رسول الله وما هن؟ قال الشرك بالله والسحر وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم والتولى يوم الزحف وقذف المحسنات المؤمنات الغافلات. متفق عليه. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, stay away from seven things that put you in a canyon of death. Stay away, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات, the same word, موبقات. Stay away from seven things that put you in a canyon of death. Seven deadly sins. And they ask, what are they? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then enumerated them. The first one is الشرك بالله, disbelieve in Allah and taking partners with Him. Second, السحر, witchcraft. Third, قتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق, killing the person whose life Allah has sanctified without any justification. Fourth, أكل الربا, consuming interest. وأكل مال اليتيم, consuming the money of the orphan. والتولى يوم الزحف, and turning away during the battle right when the enemy attacks. And finally, وقذف المحسنات المؤمنات الغافلات, accusing and slandering women in protected families that are believing and have no idea what you are talking about. The Quran uses the word rami, which is generally used when you are saying you are throwing something with the intention of harm. The word rami is general, not specific. The specific word is ittiham. However, in this hadith, Allah Rasul used the word not rami, but he used not the word ittiham, but he used the word qadhaf. Qadhaful muhsinat, accusing and slandering women. Qadhaf, which is used in this hadith, is also to throw something. Although this is not part of the tafsir of Surah Kahf, but just because in the times that we are living in, I thought it might be interesting to understand this last part of this hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, among the seven canyons, which is the bottomless pit upon which people will be thrown into on the day of Qiyamah, the seventh of which is qadhaful muhsinat, accusing and slandering women in protected families that are believing and have no idea what you are talking about. Rasulullah could have used the word rami, which also means to throw something, to throw slander. He could have also used the word ittiham, which also means accusing, but Allah's Rasul used the word qadhaf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is used in this hadith also means to throw something. And the reason the general word is used is that Allah is not limiting slander to just big accusations. Subhanallah. But even small insinuations or any measure or considered slander, even just an innuendo, all of this is comprehensively captured in the word qadhaf. Allah's Rasul used the word qadhaf, that means not only big accusations, even small insinuations or any measure or considered slander, even a just a sign, even the raising of an eyebrow. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says one of the deadliest of sin is to slander, it isn't just for you to say that someone had committed zina or adultery. So it's not criticizing the accusation of zina. It is criticizing anything that is even suggestive, that is enough and it's super serious. Zina itself needs four witnesses. And if there are four witnesses, the punishment is if there aren't four witnesses, the punishment is 100 lashes. This has to be public, but behind closed doors, if there are no witnesses, the crime is not punishable. Those who throw suggestive slander towards chaste women, the punishment would be 80 lashes. Why are these put together? The only thing is that they are both crimes against society. Casting any doubt about someone's integrity has very serious consequences on the society and in families. With this, we've come about a conclusion about this aspect in this surah of Surah Kahf. Very briefly, Marana, if you want to take a break, or I can just carry on for the next few moments.
Chimara, we can carry on for the next few moments.
I would like to just give an overview of the structure of the surah.
Chi.
The way that the surah is organized is that it begins with a sermon, a khutbah, by Allah, which were the first 9 to 10 ayah in the surah. Then the surah goes straight into the first story of the people of the cave. And we had discussed all of that. It then goes right into the second sermon immediately after Allah narrates the story of the cave. Then goes straight into the second story, which is the story of the man who had two gardens. Then this passage, ayah 45 to 59, which are two sermons and has no story, which is what Allah has just said and which we just spoke of now. And then we will have two stories after this, which is the story of Musa and Khidr. And then it will end up and conclude with a sermon at the end, just the way it opened up. And this is the longest passage in terms of sermon because it is two in one. Now in summary, to recap, Allah says in ayah 52, the day on which Allah will say, call my partners, the ones you had confidence in, and they will call on them, but nobody will respond to them. We are going to put a connection between them or a gap between them. There will be a canyon or a drop between them and the false gods that they had hope in. And this gap is going to keep widening and widening and widening. And as that gap is getting closer to them, the next ayah comes where Allah says, وَرَعَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارِ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. The criminals will then see the fire at the bottom of the pit, and they will be absolutely convinced that they will be cast into it, and they will not find a place to move or anywhere to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights different qualities or characteristics of the non-believers at different times. In this ayah, Allah describes them as criminals. And so when we understand this passage, we have to read it and understand the passage for what the crime is. Why is Allah calling them criminals? Because they called unto gods with Allah. They associated partners with Allah. And another reason, they made fun of the Quran. So that was in this passage. And this surah makes them disbelievers. Allah puts these words in very strategic places. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And they did not have a way out of it. It was always the case that they would never find a way out of the situation. And they realized this then. Masrifa, which comes from the word sarf, means change and movement, going back or alternating. In siraf means to leave or change position. Masrafa, which is used in this word, they will not find a place to move anymore or anywhere. No escape. Allah says, they didn't find a way to go back or to return or to escape from that fire. Some mufassirin have said that the shayateen like to move around a lot and go from one person to the next, and their punishment at the end is Allah putting them in a place where they can't move at all. Allah then says in ayah 54, which we will continue next week, but just to read the ayah, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. For people, for nas, for people, we give all kinds of ayah and all kinds of variations of examples. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Yet humans are the most argumentative, either out of all of creation or with all subject matters. Allah compares the ayahs to wind. Some are soft, heavy, some carry clouds. Just like some people also have different temperaments, and what resonates with them is different. People's intellectual capacity is different. So talk to people to their capacity. The remarkable thing about the Quran is that it speaks to the scholar and the layman at the same time. So it spoke to the most uneducated society in the world during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have this huge scholarly society in Rome. And they couldn't get enough treasures out of it. And therefore Allah said about them, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. That these scholars, when we present to them all these beautiful examples and arguments, they like arguing about it. And this is the nature of men. They are just argumentative. They make an issue about everything. Inshallah, next week we will continue from here, inshallah.
Inshallah, Mawlana, Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to one another next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any comments, any questions, Mawlana?
No, Jazakallah, Mawlana. It was a very informative program, I should say. And we hope that the listeners are also enjoying the program. We should get some comments from the listeners about the program that we are conducting. They can give us feedback on 0723287777. That's 0723287777. Or they can SMS us on 48855. It's 48855. So, inshallah, let's see what comments we do get, Mara.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Baam, my engineer, and from Mawlana Zahir Ahmad Raghi, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.